listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Until September 22nd, it's funding drive time here at CJLO 1690 AM. CJLO has been supporting the Concordia and Montreal communities for 20 years, and now we need your support. There are lots of ways to do this. You can listen to CJLO to pledge your support by calling 514-848-7471. Or you can visit cjlofundingdrive.com to donate online and receive our new Funding Drive merchandise. You can also buy raffle tickets from one of our CJLO DJs to be entered in to win one of over 200 fabulous prizes from our sponsors. CJLO 1690 AM, from the underground to the airwaves.
Yellow News, I'm Harley Martin. The Liberal Party of Canada is under fire after their campaign song, recorded in French, was poorly translated. According to CTV News, the party called on Canadian band The Strumbellas to use their song One Hand Up during the election campaign. The group translated and sang the song in French. Many online commentators pointed out on social media that the song, whose title in French is Une Main Haut, was incomprehensible. A Liberal spokesperson says the song will be re-recorded. Students at the University of Victoria are mourning the sudden deaths of two of their peers in a bus crash Friday evening. According to a statement from the university, 45 students and two teaching assistants were aboard the bus to Bamfield Marine Sciences Center in British Columbia when it went off a gravel road and down an embankment about 40 kilometers from Port Alberni on Vancouver Island. Two students, whose identities have yet to be made public, died at the scene, and 17 others were transported to hospital for injuries. University of Victoria counselors and other staff met with students and their families Saturday afternoon to provide support. Democratic presidential candidates are demanding U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh be impeached after a New York Times report on Saturday revealed new information about sexual misconduct allegations against him. The New York Times piece, which is drawn from an upcoming book written by the newspaper's reporters, said it was able to corroborate an allegation by former classmate Deborah Ramirez. Presidential candidates Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Beto O'Rourke have all condemned Kavanaugh's actions and have called for his impeachment. At the time of recording, Kavanaugh has not given a comment to the Times on the allegations. To hear the newscast or learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza, impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza. Hanno lo stesso punto di partenza. Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più.
Lazio. Think into the back post and Orsolini's there. Bologna's fourth. What a comeback.
Cantano un coro, la vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove.
Verona, Zapata! What a into winning.
Se c'è riuscito uno, possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore.
Surprises all kinds in the Serie A this weekend, including surprises here on the Calcio Guys with just Gianni Del Colli to start off the show. I'm Nicholas Di Giovanni here on CGO 6990. You know, Gianni, I don't think we've ever done a show, just me and you.
No, we haven't. Adri's running a bit late, so I guess I'll try to, try to be as much as Adri as I can. No, just kidding. Love the guy. But yeah, it's an interesting experience. And with musical intro at the same time. Why not?
I'm off today. I am very off today with this board.
It's okay. It happens to all of us.
It's Monday. No, it's actually Tuesday.
Look how off you are. You're mixing up the days of the week.
I did that on purpose, Gianni.
Oh, okay.
One team that was off.
Mm-hmm.
Torino.
Yeah.
Against Lecce.
Yeah, it was a very interesting game. I'm looking at my notes here. Lecce won 2-1. But it wasn't like a game that was completely dominated by Lecce. They just seemed to capitalize on their opportunities. Torino, just like I said, the sleeping blind giant strikes again, where, you know, the only goal that they get is off a penalty shot from Belotti. Mind you, though, I know I criticize Belotti a lot. He has been improving in recent. His form recently has been better, especially with the national team. He performed really well.
Especially since his offseason in 17-18.
Yeah.
Including last year, he just got better towards the end of the year.
Yeah, he started off horribly.
And he's just a consistent performer now. He doesn't go on hot streaks. He doesn't go on cold streaks. He's just there all the time,
well,
I find.
Well, that's why. Like, for now, I'm going to give him a bit of a benefit of the doubt, but I still have some question marks on my confidence level in Belotti, because he had a stellar first few seasons and then just dipped in production, and now he seems to be finding his form again. So, well, let's see where that goes.
Roma picked up their first win of the season also.
I was shocked, to be honest with you. I was at work, unfortunately, so I wasn't able to watch the game, but I got like these notifications on my phone. 12th minute in, Cristante scores. Oh, okay, that's pretty nice. And then like 22nd minute in, Dzeko scores. I'm like, what? And then at the end of the first half, it was 4-0. I'm like, oh my God, where has this Roma been all my life? Like, all of a sudden, it just seems to be firing all cylinders. Give credit to Sassuolo, but had a beautiful free kick. He played really well.
5 goals in the last 2 games.
Yes, pretty good. In terms for Roma, though, I feel like as if they still need help defensively. There was a lot of opportunities where Sassuolo just picked apart their defense and got some dangerous chances in. So I want to give credit to Sassuolo because they are a dangerous team offensively. They do have their threats. But Roma themselves really need to clean themselves up defensively.
We'll have Adam Digby on later at 2:30 to talk about Juventus, their Champions League news coming out of Italy, where 12 Ultra supporters were actually arrested for blackmailing and extortion. We're going to talk to him about that. He actually wrote a book about the history of Juventus, and he came out with a new blog for Bianconeri fans, so we'll talk to him about that. CGL hosting its funding drive from now until next week. Head to cglfundingdrive.com to find out about our events. Juventus, they had a hiccup against Fiorentina. And
yep.
I want to talk more about Fiorentina because they actually played really well.
They played better. I know you probably might disagree with me on there, but they played better.
No, I'm not. I'm saying they played well.
Yeah.
Especially considering how they played against Napoli. Well, defensively on that part. And then just a bad performance overall against Genoa.
Yeah.
Last week.
But Ribéry on the left side was refreshing for Fiorentina. You saw that they are getting a lot more threats from that left side before he got subbed off, I think, in the 70th-something minute. So it's good for Fiorentina because now instead of just completely depending on Chiesa on the right side for offensive support, they have Ribéry on the left. If they can get themselves a decent striker, it wasn't me who said this. It was our friend Nando, the Lazio fan. Shout out to Nando. He actually brought up a good point. He says, if Fiorentina actually gets themselves a great striker, they'd be a threatening team. They would probably fight for top four. And I don't disagree with him. I feel like as if Fiorentina, if they get themselves a nice guy who can finish up the job, they can win some games like this. Like this Fiorentina-Juventus game, it could have finished 1-0 if they had a quality striker in the middle.
Well, I mean, that's what they were kind of hoping to get from Kevin Prince-Boateng, even though he plays more of a as a midfielder.
Yeah.
Sometimes as a striker, he's not an out-and-out number nine.
Yeah.
I mean, they had Kalinic a few years ago. They were hoping to get that from Simeone. Giovanni Simeone, yeah. He's now in Cagliari. Yeah, I got to agree with that. They definitely need your typical number nine,
yeah,
scoring goals left, right, and center, especially with the wingers that they have.
Yeah.
Chiesa, Ribery.
They have
why am I blanking? Well, they had Veretout last year.
Yeah, they have really solid wingers. And
Pulgar behind the
yes.
striker now.
Quick stats, that guy was like 15 shots to 5, but 7 to 4 on target in favor of Fiorentina both ways. So they had the offense. It was just they just couldn't finish.
We will debate more about Chiesa
yes.
later. We saw an interesting comparison online regarding Chiesa and another Italian player. We'll talk about that when Cigiano comes. He says he's on the 105.
Okay, so he should be here shortly.
If you're on the 105 closer to the metro, you could be here in half an hour.
And he's walking right the devil. Now. You lost your spot, buddy.
Substitution, Adriano in, nobody out. Actually, your mic wasn't on.
I'm here.
So you want to do the Chiesa debate now?
The Chiesa-Benedeschi debate, sure, why not?
You spoiled it. Who was it, IFTV that posted? Do you have the stats pulled up,
John? It was IFTV that posted it, and they posted up the Serie A stats, so that's what I got in relevancy. I got some quick national team stats, but nothing too important. So in terms of games played, Benedeschi obviously being older has more games played. With 124 to 103 in favor of Bernadeschi. And they're not that far off in terms of goals and assists. Goals-wise, Chiesa has 15, Bernadeschi has 20. And assists, Chiesa has 19 and Bernadeschi has 21. Now, a lot of these stats for Bernadeschi came when he was a starter for Fiorentina 3 years before Chiesa even started. And obviously, Bernadeschi's production has dipped ever since he swapped over to Juve because he played more of a supporting bench role rather than a starter. Because if you look at the minutes played for both players, Bernadeschi total Serie A playing time is only 7,100, whereas Chiesa is 7,800. So there's a significant amount of minutes played, even though Chiesa is only 21 and Bernadeschi's 25.
Okay, but if you're going to take one player on your team right now,
yeah,
to win the Scudetto this season, not thinking about the future, not thinking about the past, to have the best team possible this year, who are you taking?
Chiesa.
I would have to agree, but I just think, based off what Gianni is saying, I mean, Bernadeschi, when he was on Fiorentina, I mean, they made it to what? They made it to Europa League. Did they get to Europa League?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
I think Bernadeschi in his, I guess, quote-unquote prime, early stage of his career, I think has done more than Chiesa. I think Chiesa is more talented than Bernadeschi, but I think now that Bernadeschi is on Juventus, he's not getting, as Gianni said, the shot that he had at Fiorentina because he was the main man at Fiorentina. Now, as you said, he's a bench player, doesn't get many minutes, he gets a lot of flack because he makes mistakes, but he doesn't have those. He doesn't get in enough to show what he really has, I think. But right now, I think just based on performances as of late, I think Chiesa, but in his, again, quote-unquote prime, I think Bernadeschi was a bit better and had accomplished a bit more, but going forward, I would definitely take Chiesa.
If we're talking about just this season only, because future-wise, I think it's fair to say Chiesa is going to be better than Bernadeschi.
Yeah, overall.
If you're going to build a team that's going to play in the Champions League, that's going to go try to want to go far in the Coppa Italia this year, I'll take Bernadeschi
yeah.
because of his experience,
yeah.
where he already has that Champions League experience. He had a monster game against Atletico last March. Chiesa hasn't had this European experience yet.
Yeah, but to be fair, though.
I mean, I'm just saying for this season, Gian.
I get that. I get that. But the reason why Chiesa doesn't have that international competition experience is because his team never even made it to one.
Well, he's never been able to lift his team.
Oh, he has been. He carried them to the semifinals of Coppa Italia last year. They lost to a pretty good Atalanta team.
That's not Europe.
No, I understand
that. At least
Bernadeschi
brought Fiorentina to Europa League.
That's what I was trying to say before. Bernadeschi.
I understand. Sorry.
No, go.
I understand Fiorentina now is worse than Fiorentina then.
Yeah.
True.
But when Bernadeschi was a number 10 there, he carried the team to, top 6 in Italy? Chiesa hasn't been able to do that yet.
Yeah, I agree.
Gianni's stoned right now. In terms of nothing to say. He's just stonewalled. Stone-faced.
In terms of raw talent, I mean, I think... Chiesa is the better guy there. But as we said, I think just the experiences that Bernadeschi has accumulated over the years, I think pays dividends going forward.
Anyways, we're going to take a short break. On the other side of break, continue with Serie A match day 3. Yeah, match day 3.
Yes, sir.
Here on the Calcio Guys on CJLO 1690.
CJLO, the big sound in the big town. Ooh. 1690 on that AM dial. Far to the right on that dial. Far to the left in your hearts.
CJLO 1690 AM's annual funding drive is taking place from Monday, September 9th to Sunday, September 22nd. From our many killer events, our fresh new merchandise, and our top-notch raffle prizes, there is sure to be something for everyone. And it's all going to a good cause, supporting local community radio. Visit cjlofundingdrive.com for more information and to find out about our events, our raffle prizes, and how you can donate. And as always, keep it locked to CJLO 1690 AM.
Looking for a way to beat the heat this summer? Have you heard of Kalem Creamery? They offer traditional and Asian-inspired fun ice cream flavors and fresh soft-serve swirls that change weekly. They even have an Instagram-worthy black ice cream. Do you dare try it? Our friendliest staff will let you sample anything your heart desires. Located next to Concordia's Loyola campus in NDG, Kalem, rain or shine, it's always ice cream time.
Wednesdays 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Only on CJLO 1690 AM.
On Wednesday, September 18th, satisfy your sweet tooth and support your local radio station by coming out to CJLO's Funding Drive Bake Sale, taking place in the SP Building atrium on Concordia's Loyola campus from 12 to 4. There will surely be enough treats for everyone, including from us here at the Calcio Guys. Here's those details one more time. CJLO Funding Drive Bake Sale on Wednesday, September 18th from 12 to 4 in the SP Building atrium of Concordia's Loyola campus. Here on the Calcio Guys CJLO 1690, we're going to have Adam Digby join us from Torino in about 12 minutes. Inter is playing in the Champions League right now, the first Italian team to do so in this Champions League match day 1. Unfortunately for Inter fans, they are down 1-0 thanks to a goal from Peter Olainka, if I said that right, against Slavia Prague, at the San Siro. So we saw this last year where Inter in the Champions League played the arguably the worst team in the group at home on match day 6 against PSV Eindhoven, and I think drew or lost. And now in a group with Dortmund, Barcelona, Inter, and Slavia Prague, in a game at home, match day 1, they're losing to a team they should be beating. So as Italian fans, we hope they could pull it off. Inter won this weekend. Did you see against Udinese, did you see DePaul's nice schaff?
Yeah.
I think it was on Candreva.
Yeah, then they slap on the back of the head there.
Good. And then he went diving. Anyway.
Yeah,
well, I mean, like, still, you
it
can't.
It hurts getting hit like that.
No, it's not that it hurts. It's the fact that in the rule book, you cannot strike or attempt to hurt somebody like that. It's an automatic red card. And whether, I know it's a slap. The guy's not going to bleed. The guy's not going to break his face. But it's still an attempt to physically harm somebody else. So that's an automatic red. And the thing is, that might not go noticed unless Candreva actually goes down and gets and tries to cry for the call.
I don't know, all the schiaffs I got, I never got, there was no...
there was no VAR.
There was no VAR, no red card, so I'm still waiting.
Milan was, the other Milan was in Verona. They actually had a scary injury.
Oh, yeah. I was, my heart was panting. It was really not a great sight. I was watching our beloved Patriots demolish the Miami Dolphins over the weekend and watching the Milan game as well, as a loyal fan that I am. But, I mean, talk about not showing up to the game and not having any sort of grinta or any kind of spirit going forward. Very, very sad. I mean, we won dirty, I guess. We won ugly, however you want to call it. Getting the 3 points, all that matters. But against a 10-man Hellas Verona team, bottom of the feeder team, just came up to Serie A. It did not, it didn't do anything for me. It, you know, I was pretty disappointed how they played, especially when they went up a man. I mean, I'll take the 3 points, of course, but this is not how you want to play against a team like Hellas Verona going forward onto the derby next week. Gianpaolo's got to shake up something. Got to get the guys motivated because I know, Inter's down 1-0 in the Champions League, but they've been all cylinders flying there in Serie A, and I think it's going to be a tough test next week. I mean, I hope for a result, but it's going to be a tougher test than Hellas.
I know that we were kind of giving a bit of flack to Jorginho last week for how he built up his penalty shot before actually taking it. How did you feel about that Piontek start up to that penalty shot? He starts a bit to the right, then hops to the left, and then walks, stops, and then takes the shot. He scored, which is great. You know,
he looked like Roger Rabbit.
It's just like, what happened if he would have missed that?
I would have thrown something at Sonic. I mean, I think all Milan fans would have exploded. Obviously, Piontek hasn't started the season the way Milan fans wanted him to. Hasn't scored. Finally got his first off the PK, as you said. I mean, the run up, the antics, whatever. The ball went in the back of the net. That's all that counts for me.
Yes.
All the shenanigans before, you know what? It just details. I mean, Balotelli has a certain run up, and he scores pretty much all of the penalty shots that he takes. Jorginho's pretty clinical as well. So, yeah, I mean, I might not like it, but I mean, the ball went in the back of the net. That's all that matters. And we took the 3 points home to the derby.
What happened to that second goal? Why was it not called?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And you guys are gonna hate me because I'm complaining again. But I honestly did not see what the issue was.
Ball was loose.
Silvestri had a bit of a hand on it, and Piontek tapped it in, and it trickled over the line. I mean, I personally,
I thought it was a good goal. I thought it was a good goal, to be honest with you. I'm not saying that. Okay, if somebody could tell me the exact reason why it was called no goal, I'm not going to disagree with it. I would like to know why it was not considered a goal. But from watching the replays and stuff, okay, maybe because Silvestri was in a very dangerous or vulnerable position that Piontek's knee or foot could have just come in contact with the head.
Yeah.
I get that. But if that's the reason for the no goal call, a bit of a weak one. He never had full possession of the ball. The ball was not completely in the keeper's hands.
That's what I was thinking as well. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Speaking of penalties, if you follow us on the Calcio Guys on Twitter, did you see what I tweeted out this morning, Jenny?
No, I haven't yet.
So what's trending on Twitter right now is how to please a woman in 5 words.
Okay. Interesting.
I changed it to how to please a Roman in 5 words. What do you think I put?
How to please a Roman in 5 words?
Yeah.
And this is going old school because I saw it this morning.
Oh, the spoon of Totti.
Moje faccio
cucchiaio.
How to please a Roman in 5 words. Atalanta? They had a nice little, not really a comeback win, but a win that had a goal, I think, in the 94th minute.
Yes.
From Duvan Zapata. Just a beautiful strike.
What a screamer.
And that's going to give them confidence going to their Champions League till tomorrow.
I hope so. I mean, I was watching that game. It was crazy. Crescito got a late goal, and then Zapata got an even later goal to get the winner for Atalanta. I mean, I think, as we said, I mean, Atalanta's going to have a tougher test this season, trying to get back into top four. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot tougher. But these games, you know, they need to pick up these points. I think the confidence, as you said, going into Champions League, I think is only... You know, I mean, the sky's the limit for them now. They go into this tournament, you know, they have nothing to lose. They're going there. They need to get as many points as they can. They know their fans will be behind them. And, you know, their players have been playing pretty well as well. Gasperini, we know how good of a coach he is. I think I think it's it's an important win in Serie A, but I think, as you said, and I really like it, the confidence going forward into Champions League, I think even adds to the win.
It's like what I said last week about Duván Zapata. This is a more confident Duván. Last year was his breakout season, and now he knows he's good. He's going to be a key player for them. Show that this game, and that's why I think that he's going to be their star going into Champions League. He's being able to steal some wins and help Atalanta either finish. I think they could finish second in that group easily.
And so, looking at the Serie A after three match days,
did we talk about Juventus Fiorentina? Might I add?
Yeah, we did, and we talked about how Fiorentina should have won.
You were late.
Yeah, okay. Did you rip Nicholas?
I didn't rip Nicholas, but I said...
the worst Juventus I've ever played.
It wasn't the worst Juventus.
I was making sauce Saturday morning. I didn't get the chance.
My friends were making sauce Saturday morning, too. Unfortunately, I had to go to work, so I came back and forth to kind of help out a bit, but... Yeah, that should have been Fiorentina's game. We mentioned
it. Did you go to work covered in sauce?
No, thank God.
No stain?
No. Customers have been like, why are you wearing sauce for?
Anyways, continue.
No, we did talk about it.
Yeah. Castrovilli, another young kid at Fiorentina. It looks promising.
Yep.
Go on.
So Inter, the only team left with three wins. That should have been Torino up there too. But Bologna, comeback win from 3-1. Okay, yes, it was against a 10-man Brescia, but on the road. Apparently, Siniša Mihajlović, from his hospital bed.
At halftime.
Yeah. Yelled at the players.
You know what?
Because of the way they're playing. And, I mean, he has become an inspiration for basically anybody following Serie A, the way he's battled leukemia this year. And, hey, his players are really, they're really feeding off that, I guess, positive energy, that grinta that he's showing. I remember we spoke to Daniele Labonte about a year ago, December, January, and remember how Bologna was fighting relegation and he thought they were going to go down to the Serie B before they fired Inzaghi?
Yeah.
Look at this. Now they're second in the league after three match days, but they're a strong team.
It shows what Mihajlović can do with a team like Bologna. I mean, he's brought them to, I think, new heights. Even not being physically there, he's brought them to new heights. And it's just an amazing story to see at halftime, as you said, getting on the players there, saying that, you know what, they have a chance to come back, and they did. After the game, the players went to pass by the hospital to go, chant his name, and he came to the window and waved back down at them. So, I mean, there's a true bond between him and his players, and you can really see that, and you can see in the way they play. I think, definite shout out for Donnarumma, for Brescia, getting two goals, but Orsolini, man, I think as of late, even going from the U21s, he's been looking really, really good, and I hope he can take his game to a new level, and maybe even this Bologna team to a new level.
One thing I'm gonna criticize fast is that yes, good job on Bologna for coming back and winning, but this was a lot more of Brescia making mistakes and showing their lack of experience. Two out of the four goals that Bologna scored, let's just say two out of the three goals that Bologna scored when they were man down, they didn't have enough people back. And a lot of teams, when they lose a man, they always tend to park the bus to try to put as much players back as possible because, the other teams can just keep pouring on the offense. And it shows because they had so much open space, Bologna, and they're able to put in those balls into the net to get those goals. And that's where I feel like where Brescia's inexperience is what costed them. It's because they didn't have a parking the bus mentality. Now, I know, credit to Bologna for getting the win, but I feel like as if it was more like Brescia shooting themselves in the foot about this game rather than Bologna being a better team.
Anyway, so you remember I predicted Inter to win the Scudetto at the beginning of the season, and you guys gave me a hard time.
Yes,
well, if the season ended today, they'd win the Scudetto. Just saying.
Yeah, we'll see.
Three games in.
What's 3 divided by 38, Johnny?
Jesus Christ. Give me a second. It's 12 point something.
I'm 12 point something percent right so far.
Shows we're not the math channel.
We are CJO 1690. I was about to say CJO.com, CJO1690.
Catch us there too.
Yeah, you can catch us on both. Coming up next here on the Calcio Guys, Adam Digby is going to join us all the way from Torino to talk about his new website and to talk about the Juventus Champions League quest for glory, let's put it that way, here on CJO 1690.
Did Did you make some bad decisions on a Tuesday night? Join me, Sarah, as I hold your hair back, give you a glass of water, and feed your hangover blues with a mix of indie, post-punk, and R&B. Bleach your hair, text your ex, wear your sunglasses inside every Wednesday at 12 p.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM.
I can see the future will be.
CJLO 1690 AM. Sounds best? Crank to 11.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJLO 1690. Joining us all the way from Torino is Adam Digby, author of Juventus History in Black and White and new founder of the TorinoCrowd.com. Adam, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. And so, big news coming out of Torino this week. Some ultras were arrested and for blackmailing, for extortion. I mean, you're in the city. You're the closest we've ever gotten to interviewing a guest in Torino. Just what's that whole situation like?
It's caused a lot of unrest over the past couple of days. The Juve ultras who were part of the groups. It was mostly the leaders of the ultra groups who've been arrested. They were threatening to make racist chants and get the club punished for as many incidents as possible if they weren't given tickets to sell. And Juve decided that they'd had enough of that, and they went to the police, and the police opened an investigation that's been going on for over a year. And 12 people were arrested on Monday, another 40 under investigation at the moment. And it really has seemed to have caused some unrest among Juve fans. There's talk of a lot of fans not going to the game against Atletico Madrid tomorrow. There's even talk of the match against Hellas on Saturday being suspended because they're worried about repercussions and violence in the stands on Saturday. So it's not been taken very well at all. There's a lot of ordinary ultras who are disheartened by the way that the club's treated their leaders, but you really can't blame them, you know. It's gone on for too long with these people having far too much power over the club, and it's time to do something about it, and it's good that you have addressed it, but the rest of the fans are going to have to get used to it.
So not many people might know about your new website, theturincrowd.com. So what I want to know is what website, well, obviously from the name it's easy to tell, but just in general, what is your website about and what can we expect to see from you on that site?
Obviously, it's about Juventus, and I think there's a real gap. It's something I used to do quite some time ago. Obviously, as my career has progressed and gone on to do other things, I've kind of got away from it, but I think there's a real gap for looking at a specific team closely about the matches and about the actual football that's being played. You know, I mean, I covered this news story about the ultras yesterday, but by and large I'm going to be avoiding the news, not going to be talking about transfer rumours or anything like that, just really looking at what's actually happening on the field and get back to talking and writing about football, you know, about what we see on the pitch every Saturday and Sunday, Tuesday and Wednesday as well, I guess, but just analysing the matches, looking at who's playing well, how they're playing, what Maurizio Sarri is trying to do since he's come in as coach, and really analyse the performances at a level that you're simply not really getting anywhere else, and I think there's a real space to do that, and I think that's something that should really interest people.
Yeah, so Adam, obviously, you know, Juventus starts their Champions League journey against Atletico Madrid tomorrow. What do you expect from the match? Are they going to have the same type of struggles as they did last year? Or what do you maybe predict for the match tomorrow?
I think looking at the expected lineup with Kabir and Matuidi, and as I've written on the website this week already from the Fiorentina match, I think trying to play Maurizio Sarri's football with those two guys in midfield is a recipe for disaster. They can't pass the ball, they're not very quick, you don't really lend anything to the attack at all, and that's been Juve's problem probably going back to the Champions League final in Cardiff in 2017. They've been completely overpowered in midfield since really that game in most big matches. And sometimes they've been able to overcome that with playing for 0-0 draws or even sneaking 1-0 wins. But when it matters and you're playing against the better teams and you really need to open them up and to try and exert your will on them rather than have theirs imposed on you, it's in midfield where that happens, isn't it? And you look at both of those two guys now coming to the tail end of their careers and they don't offer the kind of attributes that Sarri looks for in midfield. I mean, in an article on theturincrowd.com this week, I wrote about looking back to 17-18 when Maurizio Sarri was the Napoli manager. He had the five players who ranked highest in terms of passes per 90 minutes. All five players were midfielders, and leading the way was Jorginho with 108 passes per game. And Sami Khedira has not reached 108 passes this season so far in three matches. He's not able to do what Sarri wants, and I understand that he's not the same player, he's not playing the same role, but in that midfield for Sarri, whether it's Jorginho, Hamsik, Alan, you have to be able to pass the ball, even if all you're doing is giving it 2 yards to Jorginho. And Sami Khedira simply can't do that now, and Matuidi is just the same. So I think, regards to the Atletico Madrid matches, if Atletico get hold of the ball and dominate the midfield, I would expect it to be at best for Juve another 0-0 like the Fiorentina match. But really, I think you look at the Atletico Madrid attack compared to Fiorentina's, and you think they're going to cause Juve a lot more problems, and it's hard to see much other than an Atletico win if Juve continue the way they have been doing so far this season.
A lot of people on Juve Twitter have been really angry at the Juve midfield that you brought up just now because they're not able to play that Sarri ball. Correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't seen Ramsey play yet or play at all. Do you think that he's probably going to be the solution that Juve is looking for in order to play Sarri ball, or maybe some way to help it out?
I absolutely, yeah. I think you look at the work that Juve did in the transfer market this summer, and almost every player was signed to help Sarri, weren't they? You know, you've got Matthias De Ligt, who's played virtually the same style at Ajax his entire career. You look at Danilo, swapping him for Cancelo, and he kind of steps in to play that more defensive full-back role that Husay filled at Napoli, and that was the same at Chelsea with that kind of lopsided back four where the left-back pushes much further up the pitch, whether that's Goulam at Napoli or Marcos Alonso at Chelsea. And then in midfield, you've got Adrian Rabiot and Aaron Ramsey, as you say, neither's really featured at all this season. And once both those two are up to speed, you can imagine that the Juve midfield with Pjanic playing a lot more the style we've come accustomed to with Sarri. I think the treatment of Emre Can seems bizarre because he seems much better suited to that system than either Khedira or Matuidi. And he's a player who could prove really useful to Juve, but he seems to have been marginalised and pushed to the edges by the club and by Sarri, and seems to have no place in the team at all, which seems silly to me. But yeah, I think Ramsey and Rabiot, to your original point, both of those two guys should really help. It's just a matter of getting them up to speed and getting them fully fit, and then hopefully they can be integrated and take the place of two guys who really don't fit at all.
So one criticism of Sarri while he was at Napoli and Chelsea is lack of squad rotation. We saw last year Allegri actually use 38 different formations and player combinations in the Serie A, and so far it's pretty much been the same lineup in three Serie A matches. For Juventus fans, when can they expect to see some changes to the formation in a hectic schedule?
I won't be surprised if after the Atletico Madrid game there's a few changes, to be honest. I think once that game is out of the way, Sarri spoke on the press conference before the game on Saturday and said that it wasn't the time to be rotating, and once these early games were out of the way, then he would start. And I think you look at the fact that after Atletico Juve, they've got Hellas Verona, they've got Brescia, they've got Spal. I think that's kind of the time to start putting other people in and have a look at how they do, isn't it? I think the one concern I would have with that is if, say, on Saturday against Hellas, if Juve put Dybala in, who's really struggled with playing alongside Ronaldo, but has scored quite a number of times in games where he's played and Ronaldo hasn't since Ronaldo arrived last summer. I think you have to look at that and kind of, if he comes in and Ronaldo doesn't play in one of those matches and Dybala scores, I don't think anyone should be clamouring for him to be in the regular 11, because I just don't think he fits what Sarri is trying to do and what Juve are trying to do, really. I think he's almost consigned to a role as Ronaldo's backup almost. So, yeah, I think over those next three matches we should see quite a bit of rotation and see a few other players dropping in. I think Sarri, for all he was criticised about it at Napoli and in his early few months at Chelsea, once the season progressed with Chelsea and they were going far in the Europa League, he was rotating a lot more, and he seemed to learn that was something that was essential and really took that on board. And it was the same when he spoke to the press on Friday. He was much more open to it. He wasn't as cantankerous is probably the right word to use for him. He wasn't that way when he was asked about rotation, when he had been very dismissive of it in the past. He seemed to understand that is going to be an important part of his job going forward at Juve.
Do you think some of these this rotation will be hard with the injuries that Juventus have accumulated over now the beginning of the season, or will he be able to, you know, bounce back from that and go forward positively?
I think it should be okay. I think it looks like Pjanic will be fine to play tomorrow, so I think that really helps, because Rodrigo Bentancur is a good player, he's a good young player, but he's asking a lot of him in the very early stages of Sarri's tenure to come in and pick up that key role, isn't it? When Pjanic is playing in the Jorginho role, it's hard to ask somebody as inexperienced as Bentancur to do that on a regular basis. So it's good that he's not injured. I think the injury to Di Giulio has forced Danilo into the lineup, which is probably a good thing. We've seen much more of Matthijs de Ligt than I think we would have done if Chiellini hadn't been injured. And obviously, losing Chiellini, the leader that he is a huge, huge blow. But I think it's almost going to force Matthijs de Ligt to play more regularly, isn't it? And I think, apart from that, really, I think that Douglas Costa, again, Douglas Costa being out for a week or 10 days should help Bernardeschi establish himself and show what he can do on the right flank. So, apart from Chiellini, I think the injury is probably helping Sarri more than they're hurting him by forcing him to try other players, really.
And one player you haven't really mentioned much, Paulo Dybala, hasn't really seen much playing time either. His brother actually tweeted out, I believe, this weekend, a violin with a missing string doesn't play so well. Do you think this is a situation that could badly escalate between him and Sarri?
I don't, to be honest, because I think the club kind of made it quite clear that they were looking to sell Paulo Dybala in the summer, and I think it's more on him for not taking one of those opportunities, whether that was Manchester United or Tottenham. I think there's enough evidence from last season with Dybala and Ronaldo. Max Allegri, as you said earlier, he tried 38 different lineups in the league, never played the same lineup twice in all 38 matches. He tried every possible way to fit Dybala and Ronaldo into the team. He played them as a pair together. He played Dybala as a number 10 behind Ronaldo and Mandzukic. He played Dybala on the right. He played him as a false nine. He played him on the left. He tried everything possible to figure out a way to play Ronaldo and Dybala, and none of them worked. I think it's not a criticism of either player. It's just one of those simple facts that the two just don't fit. And maybe if Dybala gets disgruntled by the fact that he's not playing, he's going to say something more public than a cryptic tweet from his brother. But I think really the writing was on the wall probably by January of this year. I think it was very obvious to everyone that Dybala's time in the team while Ronaldo was there was going to be very difficult to come by. And I think Allegri, by the time the Champions League games against Atletico Madrid and Ajax came around, the second leg against Atletico Madrid, I think, was the first game where he actually dropped Dybala when he was fit and healthy to play in favour of Bernardeschi, and the team looked much better as a result. It's not to say that Bernardeschi is a better player than Dybala. It's not to say that he's more talented. It's not to criticise Paulo Dybala in any way. It's just a simple recognition of the fact that we have a year of evidence that Ronaldo and Dybala simply can't play together, and it's very difficult to see a way out of that other than for Dybala to leave, because Cristiano Ronaldo's not going anywhere, is he?
And lastly, Adam, moving away from the pitch, what we usually do with our guests, we're not afraid to show our biases on the show. You know, I'm a Juventus fan, Adriano's Milan fan, we've got a Napoli fan here. So tell us a bit how you got into Juventus. I mean, I read your book, so I know, but for our listeners to know the story behind your passion for the Bianconeri.
Yeah, I grew up watching Italian football as a child. I've always watched Italian football over any other league, and then I was fortunate enough that my father moved to Turin for work when I was quite young, and I got to see Juve quite a lot when I was very young, and then when I was a teenager I went back again and spent some time there. I had season tickets for a couple of years very early after the turn of the millennium, so I've always been a Juve fan, and it's just always been that way for me, so it's just normal, you know. I grew up with Juve as being my team, and there's never been anybody else.
Anyways, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Calcio Guys.
We really appreciate it.
No problem, thank you.
That was Adam Digby from the TurinCrowd.com. Next on the Calcio Guys, yellow card, red card, MVP of the week, plus teeing up the Derby della Madonnina.
And the starting rotation, and I know you probably don't like being told what to do, and neither do I. Now, I'm not saying or telling you to listen to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal, but 46% of people who listen to CJLO report higher life satisfaction and increased sexual activity. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Satisfy your sweet tooth and support your local radio station by coming out to CJLO's Funding Drive Bake Sale. Taking place in the SB Building Atrium on Concordia's Loyola campus, there will surely be enough sweet treats for everyone. Come out on Wednesday, September 18th from 12 to 4 p.m. We'll also be selling CJLO merch and raffle tickets, with all proceeds going towards station upgrades and initiatives. For more information on our funding drive and our many killer events happening between September 9th to the 22nd, visit cjlofundingdrive.com. CJLO 1690 AM, from the underground to the airwaves.
Are you looking to take the next step in your education? Well, learn about undergraduate and postgraduate programs, professional degrees and doctorates, as well as work abroad, language travel, and internships at the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, October 3rd at the Palais de Congrès de Montréal. Admission is free. For more information, check out our website, www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Hey kids, you like heavy and hard music? Want to be part of a morbid seance? You might just want to take a listen to the kind words of Hunter, our Lord and Savior.
To find the way to the gateway to the underground, first you must listen to the Iron Club. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM.
Welcome to the ritual.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJLO 1690. Thanks to Adam Digby for joining us. Talk about Juventus. Next week, we'll try to diversify. Let's get a guest of a team that we've never talked about before. Let's try to challenge ourselves. I know somebody actually commented on our Instagram that there's more than Juventus in the Champions League.
Yeah, he's right.
There
yeah.
is Inter, who scored a late goal against Slavia Prague from Nicolò Barella. I guess it's in the name Nicolò to be talented and good at stuff, right?
Wow. Man, just talking about himself. Excuse me, Nicholas. Yeah. Check your privilege.
Yeah. Exactly. Somebody checked and never called you Nicolo.
I don't think your parents even call you Nicolo.
No, it's not my name.
All right. Moving on.
You want to go yellow card, red card, or MVP of the week first for today on match day three? Because we didn't get to it before.
Let's go. Red card. I'll start us off like I wrote on the Google Doc. Hellas Verona fans demanding respect from, who was it? It was a Kessié they were making fun of? No.
Yeah,
Kessié making monkey noises towards him. And they're like, oh, no, we weren't. You have to give us respect. Blah, blah. I'm like, are you serious? You could clearly hear the monkey noises coming from the fans. And it's just a problem that we constantly talk about. The racism in Italy is horrible. It's not just one different team. You got Verona this week. Last week was Cagliari. Then you get Inter last season. You have Roma making chants towards Napoli fans. And, like, you have all these type of incidents happen to every single player from every different team. When is this going to stop? It's stupid. It honestly is.
So what card is that? I guess
I'm giving that red card, where straight up.
Yeah.
This is going to be a red card. And is that going to change the course of the game?
Hey, Drano?
Yeah, so I'm going to go. So I didn't really get to speak to it before because the 105 is. And the lights sinking in Montreal. The traffic lights never sink here in Montreal, so I was a bit late. I didn't get to really talk about that Juve Fiorentina game, but I'm going to give a small yellow card to Fiorentina, actually, because I think it was their game to win. And seeing how Juventus played, I think it was one of their worst performances that we've seen in a long time. I think that. Again, I'm so behind this Comiso project in Florence, and it's just disappointing that they've kind of shot themselves in the foot and been a bit unlucky at the same time in their first three match days. So for that, I'm going to have to give a small yellow card. I think there are positive signs to come for Fiorentina. I still think it is a project, and it will be, you know, a slower ride to success. But I am behind this team, and I hope that they do well. But for this week, a small yellow card for me.
And he now sees a flash of yellow before his eyes.
By the way, the goalkeeping duel in Fiorentina-Juventus between Bartolomei Drogowski and Wojciech Szczęsny was the duel of hardest names to spell in the Serie A.
Yeah, definitely.
The two Polish keepers getting the clean sheet, so good for them. Actually, they actually took a picture together after the game. I'm going to have to give a red card to a player who already received a red card, Rodrigo de Paul. Just for stupidity, not for the actual slap or the schaff, as we say in slang Italian, just for being dumb in a game where I wouldn't say they had a huge chance to win, but considering it finished 1-0 with Inter up 11 men to 10, Udinese could have had a shot at this game, and he took himself out, the best player. He's probably going to be suspended for the next few games, and it's just unnecessary. That's it. It's unnecessary to see someone slap another person on the pitch.
Agreed. Especially the way Musso was playing for them. Musso was trying to keep them as much into the game as he could.
Yeah, so that's a red card for me.
Could be a red card. The red card is out. And it's no surprise. Absolutely, it is against the rules.
We have our honorary referee, Matthew Coit, in the back giving the red cards out. Used to host CJO Sports with him here at CJO 1690. MVPs of the week, you guys take it away. Actually, I'll take it away. I'm going to go with Cepitelli from Cagliari. 2 goals from the defender in a 3-1 win away at Parma. He's actually their captain, so good for him. It's rare that you actually see a defender scoring twice, getting the doppietta, and getting my MVP of the week at least. Yes, Gianni? What did you put? I don't know what you put, Johnny.
I didn't write anything. Okay. No, I thought I wrote one.
You're not going to give it to your boy.
You wrote Musso. I originally wrote Orsolini, but I'm going to change it to Cepitelli.
So there you go. Because I'm like, I know I wrote somebody down. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Musso. In that Udinese Inter game, he kept them as much as he could in there. Did some really amazing saves. You can rewatch the highlights just to see the type of effort that he put into every single stop. Unfortunately, he couldn't keep them all out. Did the best that he could. He faced 13 shots, which 8 were on target. So, I mean, the guy was working throughout the entire game. You can't say that Udinese lost because of him. He tried his best to keep them in there, but DePaul's stupid mistake, I think, might have hurt them in the long run.
Adri?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to go. Yeah, I mean, I know his team was on the losing effort this weekend, but I'm going to go for a guy who's been scoring all kinds, Domenico Berardi. I think he has, 5 goals so far this season. He's really been carrying this bit of a lackluster Sassuolo team. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off, but his play as of late has been electric, and I think we're kind of getting the old Berardi that we've seen in the past. He's kind of been off the map as of late, but recently he's been exploding, and I like what I see from him. I mean, if he can continue this, I think it'd only be better for him, positive, you know, for his career. And a quick stat from the trusty Opta: Domenico Berardi has scored 10 Serie A goals since the start of March 2019, less only than Dries Mertens with 11 over the same period. So it shows that, you know, he's hanging with some of the better players in Serie A, and I hope the best for him going forward.
Berardi has publicly said that he grew up as an Inter fan. So we know who he's going to be cheering for this weekend, Derby della Madonnina.
Yeah.
As probably the biggest game of the season, or two of the biggest games of the season, as we're going to see this again in January. Another big game that's early on in the season. We saw Juventus-Napoli 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Derby della Capitale.
Derby della Capitale also. And so for Milan fans like yourself, I know our friends at Milan Club Montreal, they're going to be getting together at Chocharo's.
Yeah, Chocharo Bar. That.
Unfortunately, I can't watch it. I have a wedding to go to. So I hope no one at the wedding is an actual Milan or Inter fan.
Yeah. But
because that would be disappointing.
Oh, any Milanistas in the Montreal area, definitely go come support Milan at Bar Chicharo and St. Leonard, Milan Club Montreal. We're growing, so we'd love to see you there. But yeah, I mean, as you said, I mean, I think it's another big game to start off the season. We mentioned it before with how the Serie A has put a lot of these games early on in the season, and I think they're just as crucial if you'd play them now or later. So I mean, obviously, I think it's quite obvious. I think that maybe Inter is probably the favorites going into this game, seeing how they've been playing. In terms of play so far compared to Milan, so I think it's gonna be a tough test for Milan. Gianpaolo is really gonna have to step up, and the players as well. Hopefully maybe Piontek getting that goal on the PK over the weekend kind of gets that monkey off his back, and we can see him back in form. But I think the supporting cast has to play a big part as well. Donnarumma and the defense can't do it all on their own. I think the midfield and the attack has to come alive as well. And we can't lay an egg in games like this, because these games are so important. It's a derby. It's the two Milan teams, so they share the stadium, they share the city. So there's a lot of weight on this game. But I'm positive vibes going over to the weekend, and I think they can have a shot to get a result. I don't know if that'll be a win, but I could definitely maybe see a tie.
Positive vibes only.
Yes, yes, sir. That's how you have to go.
But based on the way Inter's been playing and how Milan's been playing, I mean, Inter has yet to lose a game.
Yep.
This season, 3 wins in Serie A. They just tied in the Champions League. Milan, I'm blanking. Who did they lose to in match they won?
Udinese, they lost 1-0.
Oh, yes.
They beat Brescia, and now they beat they beat Hellas. But then again,
so two wins in a row, but not convincing wins.
Not convincing wins, but I mean, Inter neither. I mean, they squeaked by against but Udinese 1-0, and they beat Brescia 2-1, I think it was. The only blowout win that they had was against Lecce, but I mean, Lecce, I don't know how convincing they are. So yes, they've been a lot better, but I don't think. Wait till they face, the Juventuses, the Napolis, maybe the Lazios as well, Atalantas. I mean, I think it's been a bit of a walk in the park for Inter. Not a jab at them, but I think it's been a bit of a walk in the park the first three games.
But still, momentum is on Inter's side, I think.
I kind of agree with that. They're playing well. They have the synergy going in short period of time. A lot of new faces, yet somehow still playing well. I think if it's going to be an Inter victory, it's not going to be much of a big victory. I think it's probably like a 2-1 squeaker for Inter. I think Milan offensively have been lackluster the first few games. I know AJ can back me up on that.
Yeah.
They definitely can play better, but they're not. It's like as if something's holding them back mentally. I wish I knew what the issue was. Unfortunately, I'm not that good in my soccer knowledge to know. But it's because Inter's talent on the field is what's scares me whenever I myself as a player would play against them. I would feel like crap. You got guys like Odin, Lukaku, Sensi's been phenomenal, Barella's probably another one of the best young Italian mids right now, and you guys, they added Alexis Sanchez, they have oh my god, what's his name, starts with an L,
Lautaro.
He could play on the left side as well. Like, they have a lot of big names that could be on the pitch at any time. So, and they seem to be finding more goals than AC is right now. So that's why, if I would, for this match, I would probably give more of a favor to Inter winning than Milan.
Milan hasn't won the derby since January 2016 when they won 3-0. It was two draws of 2-2 in 16-17. In 17-18, Inter won 3-2, and then the other game finished tied 0-0. Although Milan did win in the Coppa Italia version of the derby 1-0. And last year, remember this guy, Mario Icardi, scored at the end for Inter before Inter won the reverse fixture in March 3-2. So history is on the Nerazzurri side, And, I mean, it's a whole new ball game. Two new coaches also.
Yep.
It's going to be exciting to see, to say the least.
Yep.
I'm disappointed I can't watch it. This is the one game of non-Juventus that I try to watch every year.
Yeah.
But other games this weekend, Bologna-Roma could actually be an interesting game based on Bologna's form. Atalanta-Fiorentina, Lazio-Roma, Parma are other games we have to watch out for. Juventus hosts Hellas, and there might be a whole issue with the crowd situation, the ultras. And we'll be back next week to talk about, hopefully, a crazy Derby della Madonnina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening here on The Calcio Guys on CGO 1690.
Ciao.
Bye.